Welcome to another edition of Engineering Influence, a podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies. And today we are focusing in on a very important offering from ACEC, and that is Pathways to Executive Leadership. It is a program that is focused towards mid-career professionals in the design industry, and it prepares them to take on new management roles within their firms while equipping them with a close national network of peers in the AEC industry. So this is really that springboard from mid-career position in management to the higher echelons of the C-suite. And to talk about Pathways, we're joined with two members of the faculty. Jordy Aiken, he's the focuses on emerging leaders training and innovation. And then Rod Hoffman, he is all about leadership and being an agent of change. These are two longstanding faculty members of the program, and it's great to have them both on. Welcome onto the show.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks.
So let's start with Jordy. How did you get involved, and you know, tell us a little bit about the program and your perspectives with it.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm sort of a child of this industry. My father was an architect for 30 years, and he raised me kind of in the environment of the AEC world and its rhythms. I studied, you know, my background is not engineering. It's in humanistic psychology, in applied rhetoric, in communications, and not to get too granular, but into, you know, comparative belief systems and how people put their worlds together. I bring a perspective that is fundamentally humanistic, and my focus, you know, in Pathways is the same as my focus in the Senior Executives Institute. It's to really clarify and make easier the people side of the business, whether that means, you know, helping individual leaders become more resilient themselves, you know, by having better personal habits and have a better understanding of emotional self-regulation, or helping them better understand group dynamics and what goes on between people, which isn't what they're trained in. So I think that's a little bit of what I bring. This, and I'm sure Rod will elaborate in a moment, but this particular program, Pathways to Executive Leadership, focuses on bridging between the personal and the professional, if you will, aspects of the business, the people side to the strategic side. It covers all those bases, and in that sense, it's designed to be a holistic program, and therefore kind of different from what else is out there.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point that you raised, because, you know, I've had conversations with Mike Cooper, who's now a new member of our executive committee, and he is all about leadership development, and he talks all the time about the importance of the softer skills in the business of engineering, that you can have very good technical competency. You can be a great engineer. You can even manage a project fantastically. But it's that human element of dealing with people. It's more of the social interaction and the inspiration side of things. That's really not taught. It's something that has to be developed over time. So having a program that, and that approach that you have from your own background, of helping people who are, you know, competent, good engineers get those softer skills, it's critically important for their professional growth.
Yeah, that's right. And it's a people business, but it seems to me that most successful engineers don't realize that until they're a few years in. Mm-hmm. And they go, oh my goodness, you know, this, my success wholly depends on my ability to influence and connect with other humans.
So, Rod, how do you kind of approach the program? How any different than Jordy, or is it along the same lines?
It's actually, we're kind of a yin and yang. I'm the engineer. I've been in the industry, both AEC PwC consulting for about 35 years. I worked for one firm for 25 of those years and progressed from being a junior engineer, got my PE, and ultimately ended my career at that firm in the C-suite. So I was had progressed all the way through a lot of different responsibilities in a pretty good sized top 10 AEC firm. And then I retired about 10 years ago, and that's when and Jordy and I have been working together for probably 15 years. And he brings the soft skill side and the personal mastery side, and I bring the deep understanding of how to run a consulting firm mm-hmm. in the AE space. So it's a real nice compliment. And so my approach had been, really, when we started looking at pathways, as Jordy highlighted, we saw that this mid-level engineer had been somewhat overlooked when it came to training and development. We started picking up on a book called The Leadership Pipeline that moves from managing self to managing others to managing managers to managing the enterprise. And so the ACEC actually has a curriculum that covers the whole side of that continuum, all the way from the business of design consulting, which is really more about managing self and maybe starting to manage others, and then pathways to executive leadership, which is really from managing managers all the way up to managing part of the practice. And then SEI, which Jordy and I are both faculty of, is the Senior Executive Institute, is the executive side. And it's managing and running the entire enterprise. So since I've gone through that entire pathway and that entire pipeline, I have the perspective of having lived it, I guess. And yeah. Jordy is really good at the soft side.
For your target audience, which I imagine, as we've talked a couple of times, is that mid-career professional. And by the way, I mean, in your mind, what really makes up, what are the defining features of that mid-career professional who would be a great fit for this program?
That's a good question.
Yeah. I might start by, and then Jordy, I think, has had a lot of experience in our design of this. I see two primary characteristics. These are mid-career people versus frontline, which are just essentially cranking out technical work, or executive that are running the enterprise. So really, the two characteristics I see is where you're at in your career. You're managing managers or managing programs. And the second piece is around they're growing into being a principal, which may or may not include ownership, but you have high potential to be one of the top leaders in the firm.
Ditto. That's the professional context that is salient. I think Rod said it perfectly. I would add the personal context to complement the professional, which is this. And I suppose I'm expert in this cohort in as much as I am this cohort. I'm 42 years old, and I would probably be moving toward the upper end of the ideal. I mean, the upper demographic end of the ideal pathways participant. But we're looking at who are quote unquote doing it all.
Yeah.
In the business, and they're also doing it all at home, right? As a manager, like a team manager, a client manager, or a practice leader, and soon to be partner, or perhaps they've already become a principal in their business. They're in charge of making sure project delivery happens, but they're also, in some cases, very newly responsible for making it rain and building client relationships. And many of them in the past three classes have been really overwhelmed with the demands of client development and all that goes with it. On the home front, a lot of these folks at the same time as all of that, they've got young kids, mm-hmm. right? They're out there paying mortgages. Often they're in a home where they and their spouse work in tandem, or not together, but have two separate careers. And they have aging parents. So they've got it all happening at home. They've got it all happening at work. And thus the level of stress and really the demands on energy management for them personally are unprecedented. They haven't really tooled up ever for the demands of a life this complex. And so this you know, Pathways is somewhat a crash course in the skills needed to handle this all and handle it all with skill.
And that's really a good launching point to kind of getting into the meat of the program itself, because you know, we've identified the potential candidate, you know, someone who is a high performer, someone who is expected to not only perform their core responsibilities at a high level, but have taken on more work for business development. They've got the pressures at home and at work. So what kind of content would a participant expect to gain from the course? How do you address those issues through the curriculum?
You know, I might start with, I want to reinforce what Jordy just said about the humanistic aspect of this, because what we noticed when we designed the curriculum and how we chose content was that, me included, people have sometimes got promoted without the skill building, mentoring, coaching. You know, there's a lot of programs that help you with the technical side, the frontline folks, but there's very little in the mid-career, and it's also not industry-specific, which this is. And then there's the soft side, the mastery, the personal mastery. So I think what we did is we looked at where were people getting stuck, or where were they not having been prepared for these new challenges. So Jordy, maybe you can talk about kind of that inside out kind of thing and how we chose that kind of curriculum.
Yeah, well, I mean, remember, Jeff, the Senior Executives Institute came first, and it was our model for a holistic curriculum that addressed the hard and the soft, or the yin and the yang, as Rod said, both of which are crucial. So Pathways was designed with that in mind, but I would say in a more condensed and direct way, plus making use of remote meeting technology. So there's a series of webinars involved in Pathways in addition to the in-person sessions, and who knows, the way the world is going, maybe more of that will be remote in due course.
True.
Regardless, Rod referenced this inside out kind of vector, attitude we've got in Pathways. And that is to say, you know, leadership mastery, leadership development has to start with some self-awareness, some capacity for self-observation. That is, you know, any leader, any of us in our lives, no matter how smart or well-trained we are, can't see our own backswing. We don't see what we don't see, right? Our blind spots are precisely that. And so for the first session is really a deep dive into seeing what we're not seeing. We use some external instruments. We extensively coach folks in that first session and have them peer coach each other. And for many, it's the first time they've ever experienced this kind of feedback intensive coaching from mirroring. And that begins their journey. That starts to highlight where they are uncertain, where they may lack confidence, where they are, you know, riding off of old behaviors, old patterns that no longer serve them, including what lies upstream of limiting behaviors, which are some of the beliefs they may have held. And for mid-career professionals, just to name it, a typical belief that we see in Pathways is, you know, people coming in at 38 years old, ahead of steam, aggressive and ambitious, but they still think they need to do it all themselves, right? They still believe that it's up to them if it's to be done well. And Rod and I, gently, and our co-facilitators, Magda and Barb, gently disabuse them of that notion, because it's a limit to growth, their own, their teams, and their organizations. So that's why we start inside, move gradually out to talk about communication with others, team leadership, influencing up and down the org chart, starting to think about clients in a similarly self-aware way, looking, and this is where I'll ask Rod to jump in, because obviously I'm sort of the more inside guy, you know, self-observation, behaviors, et cetera. It's with Rod's work and Barb's work that we move to the outside and the client facing.
Yeah, it's a good segue, Jordy, because the natural flow is you do a lot of personal development and then team development within your firm. The next step is, how do I extend my skill set and my team development to include the external team members, our clients? And so we embrace this idea of developing long-term personal relationships with valued clients. We reference a source called Clients for Life. And then we start moving into how you not only develop clients from a delivering work standpoint, but how you develop persuasive messages and ways to win work and to meet those clients' needs. And we kind of transition from just the client work to this kind of skill set to develop and win and bring in your own work as well as to feed others. The last piece of the puzzle is really how you see the firm in a broader sense, and in how you grow opportunities for individuals that may be reporting to you through those external relationships as well, and then how you give back to the external community and the outside world. Mm-hmm. So the bookends are the front end work that is around personal development, and the back end around going back out and delivering that to the outside world through our clients.
Yeah, this is really something, because it really resonates with me. My background, you know, was in a different industry. It was in communications and at a, you know, in the private sector at a PR firm. And in that position of being engaged in developing work, grooming clients, getting work brought into the door, and then it's just not that project, but it's that mindset shift to develop relationships, look at challenges that the client might have, offer solutions, you know, build that trust. And, you know, that is something which you don't come to naturally. And there are things that can happen within either pitching business or developing a client relationship, that if you're not aware that you should be paying attention to certain indicators or different opportunities, and you don't have that training, that mental kind of checklist, then you're going to miss them. And they don't come naturally. You need this kind of training to be able to kind of train your brain to think a certain way, which might not be what you were originally trained for, but to kind of operate at a different level. And it's, I wish we had something like this in that industry, because it would have made things a lot easier. So that combination, that hybrid approach of training both in person and online, mm-hmm. you know, that seems to have been very, very well received. I understand just anecdotally from people who have been in the course that's one of the benefits that they have coming out of it.
Yeah, one of the things that Jordy and I have really strived to do is to deliver the content online that is not as crucial for interpersonal interaction as the ones that are face to face. So we're really thoughtful about that, and then when we've also one of the great opportunities that we've created is we've gone to the industry and used current CFO, CEO type C-suite people and allowed the class members to interact with these people and ask questions and be probing about, you know, how was your experience as you were growing up in this industry, and what should I pay attention to? And using that opportunity is in an online session, maybe ask questions of a CEO you've never had a chance to do. And that's it's pretty powerful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Without question. Mm-hmm. I'm just having that visibility and that ability to ask those questions is, you know, a learning experience in its own right. And I know that you also expose your classes to a completely different area of, I guess, ACEC's, you know, operations, which is the advocacy portion. And giving the people who are part of this program the opportunity to engage somewhat in some of the lobbying. And that's an entirely different world than even the business side or the engineering side. That's the political side. I imagine that's got to be eye-opening for some participants.
Yeah,
it is.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Charlie.
I think we've done a good job, you know, working with our partners at ACEC to you know, blend the design of the in-person sessions in, you know, blend it in with the spring and fall conferences, respectively. Often, usually starting with the fall conference, so they get that spring conference immersion, you know, as different state delegations go to the Hill and they can attend keynotes that connect, you know, really on issues at the national level that are timely and up. I mean, ACEC does a great job at curating the speakers and bringing in engaging conversations, and so that pathways. I mean, it's an intensive, I think, both of those in person retreats, the first one and the closing, because they're drinking from the fire hose. You know, they're working with the likes of us for a couple of days, and they're also, you know, in the company of hundreds, if not thousands, of their fellow engineers. And so the scales fall from their eyes, I think, in many ways at many points in this program.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud of what we've built. I think it could have grown in participants by now, but we've been very firm that the pathways needs to remain a fairly intimate learning cohort. And I think we cap it formally at 24, and
yeah,
feels like class after class we have to hold the line, because Rod and I know that there is a critical mass to this quality of experiential learning. If there's too many people will fade into the background. And if there's not enough, you don't get the diversity of viewpoints and that mix of personality types that makes it so robust. So I think the small class size is another key design feature of Pathways.
This is an unusual circumstance. I don't think anybody expected to be in this position of looking and saying that we have a global pandemic and the economy is shut down. Everybody's kind of work from home. There are challenges in workplace culture. There are problems with client relationships or business development in a time like this. So, you know, it seems like every generation has a challenge. This is oddly difficult. But why would it be important now for your mid-range your mid-level executive to apply for the program?
Mm. Well, I would love to hear Rod's answer on this. I think about this a lot, because, you know, all of the colleagues and clients I'm talking to daily are you know, confronting the current challenges, but also the uncertain challenges that are coming in the future. Most folks expect some kind of recession to, you know, however long, to continue or deepen, or perhaps we haven't even seen its beginning, really. I think what's being tested right now is everyone's personal resilience. Like, the last 3 months has been inordinately stressful for a lot of folks, especially people in this mid-career position who, as I said, they're doing it all professionally. They're winning work, they're managing teams, they're very responsible people. They really are invested in keeping their people employed, engaged, and at the same time they're handling a lot at home with parents who may be vulnerable to COVID-19, kids who have had to be home from school and are now home for the summer. I think stress is high, and this program, as I say, it's a crash course in skills necessary for effective energy management, effective attention management, and effective focus.
Ooh. Well put.
Yeah, I'd like to compliment that I went back and actually talked to some of the past graduates, you know, because I wanted to find out, what are they using now that they may not have had in their toolbox, you know, going forward with and overlaying a pandemic and the beginning of a recession. And what I heard is they are using leadership skills now because they're personally being asked to do more and they are better prepared than if they had gone through this. They're not only better prepared as a resilient individual, but better prepared to maybe start doing business development, you know, 5 years before they thought they were going to have to.
Yeah.
Better prepared to be to enter into managing staff and the enterprise in a downturn, and it could be a significant one. I don't even think we've begun to see a complete recessionary time yet. I think we're 6 months from that. So they're looking forward, and they're better prepared to make those decisions because they have seen in the past, the last recession, that it was a crisis and that people were just trying to survive. They're ready to be help their firm thrive,
yeah,
to really be that resilient organization.
Yeah. Bingo. I just want to piggyback because I think Rod is nailing it as usual. You know, a big philosophical pillar for us, for Rod and I both, through the Senior Executives Institute, through Pathways to Executive Leadership, is you know, Ron Heifetz's idea of adaptive capacity. And it's not as big, or it's not as central a learning point in Pathways as it is in SEI, but it still, I think, guides our focus as educators. You know, the idea that right now we are living in a time, well, first of all, history has returned, right? We're living in historical times. People are going to be talking about this for decades to come, how we handled it back in 2020, how we apprehended the challenge and what this shock did to all our systems.
Yeah.
The idea of adaptive capacity is our ability to respond to the adaptive challenge, right? And the adaptive challenge is the challenge for which no amount of technical training, no amount of actually effective communication is adequate to handle the uncertainty, the degree of change being foisted upon us. The adaptive challenge requires us to, as it implies in the name, adapt. We as individuals have to change. We can't wait for anyone else to do it. We have to change our behavior. We have to change our belief. We have to change our assumptions. Most people don't like change. Change is acutely uncomfortable for most of us, no matter how adventurous we are. So I think that ethos of preparing people for the unknown, preparing people to handle the adaptive challenge with skill and with less suffering, is a big driving purpose for Rod and I and for our co-facilitators and Pathways.
Well, I think that's a
very
great,
true.
Yeah, that I think you guys have really done a good job in summarizing this. I mean, you know, any final thoughts on the program and what you want people to know? I'm going to make sure to, we'll of course link the website for the program onto the show notes and add some additional background information, but anything else that you want to make sure gets across to the audience?
Well, I would just want people to know this is an opportunity to hang out with Rod Hoffman, and that is not an opportunity to be squandered. So that alone should bring him to the yard.
That alone is worth the price of admission.
I would say so. I would say so.
Rod?
So it is interesting, I think, that it's not just us. It's an experiential training.